Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Lover of people. Those of you who know Sam know that he is just such a lover of people and a lover of God. So we just want to honour you today, Sam, and just bless you. So we can't wait to hear what God's put on your heart today. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Angela. You're a part of that as well. Yeah, those long list of names who are built into my life, you're a massive part of that as well. You know, and we give God all the glory. Believe me, I'd rather not be up here. I'd rather be behind the scenes and doing what I'm doing. But, you know, God is amazing. And guys, really do be encouraged with Basildon. You know, that's really amazing what's happened there. The word that we've got over us is there's unfinished business in Basildon. You know, and to be a part of that, that's going to be amazing. So, yeah. But today, we're continuing in our... Are we recording? Okay. You know what? Let's give Adam and Gemma a round of applause, you know. Angela just honoured Clive and Debbie and what they've done for me and all that. But these guys have learned a trade so fast, you know. So bless you guys for all you do as well. So, we're going to continue in our series of Signs of the Kingdom. We've been kind of looking at a book called Sustainable Power from Simon Holly. If you haven't read it yet, pick it up. It's a really good book. I'm not a big reader. That's just how I grew up. But I really couldn't put this book down. This was incredible. So, definitely, if you can, Simon Holly, Sustainable Power, really amazing book. And that's kind of where... this series has stemmed from, with the signs of the kingdom. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 61, where it says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." That there is God's message to us of his sovereign peace. And in this series, we want to switch on and activate the signs of the kingdom and all that comes with it. And Isaiah 61 is all about peace to mankind. God's promise of peace to mankind. Jesus has come and he has given us peace. And today's message is a massive message for us all, because put your hand, who wants peace in their life? Who wants to have a peaceful life today? Who wants to leave here transformed? You know, that's the message that we have for you today. We want you to leave here transformed, renewed. And when we call upon the kingdom, whenever we pray and we say, God, let your kingdom come, peace is what comes with it. And in the Bible, Isaiah prophesied 14 times that when the Messiah comes with his kingdom, he will bring peace. In Isaiah 9, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Amen? Amen. There is a bit more, but I'll just skip. After Isaiah prophesied that, now when the prophecy came into being, the angels confirmed it. They declared it at Jesus' birth when they said in Luke 2, "Glory be to God in the highest heaven, and peace to all those on earth who he favours." It was promised and it was proclaimed and it was done. The prophecy came into being when Jesus was born onto earth. And, you know, we receive amazing... I'll tell you what, the person who you can speak to at the moment, right, who's probably had the most peaceful couple of weeks, is Colin. I can say this because he's not here. We all know he was in hospital for a week or so, and I'm not taking a mick, I'm not having a joke. He had a wonderful time, right? He had sponge baths every day. He was getting waited on hand and foot, teas and coffee. When you're the NHS clapper and the nurses find out you're in hospital, you're going to get looked after, right? I said that to Colin. I know that when he's fit and well, I'm going to be receiving some payback. So, but he had a peaceful time. We all, and everyone that we know about talks about peace. Nelson Mandela said, "Peace is the greatest weapon for development that any people can have." In other words, what he's saying there is for us to develop, for us to grow, and for us to, you know, growing this life happily. We need peace. He's saying that's an essential part of our living. And Ronald Reagan, does anyone here know who Ronald Reagan is? Yeah, the 40th president of the United States. I won't go too much into him. But he turned around and said this. He says, peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. What he is saying there is, look for peaceful methods to resolve a conflict. How many times in your life have you had a conflict with someone or maybe a little fight? And the last thing you can think of is, am I going to bring peace to this situation? When really all you want to do is rip their head off, you know? That's what Ronald Reagan is saying there. He's saying, look at peaceful methods to resolve conflict. The intention to bring peace into a situation is greater than the absence of war. Amen? And today we're going to be looking at three areas for perfect peace in your life. We're going to be looking at peaceful relationships, peaceful minds, and a peaceful future. And first of all, peaceful relationships. Did you know that peace with people follows peace with God? You are more like Jesus when you're reconciling with people, when you're bringing peace to people. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he lived in this reality of peace where it just poured out everywhere he went. In 1 Timothy 2, it says, there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Jesus Christ. When you have conflict, we should be focusing on reconciliation and not resolution. And there's a big difference between those two words. First of all, reconciliation means re-establishing, rebuilding that relationship, while resolution means resolving every issue. And in most cases, resolution doesn't happen. There are some things that you will just never agree on. Let me ask you a question here. Can you have a loving relationship without agreeing on anything or everything? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You learn in that relationship to agree to disagree. For instance, Lloyd, you are a Chelsea fan, right? Yeah. Yeah, you would say that Chelsea is the greatest team in the world. Me and Gemma would probably say different, you know. But I'm not saying you're wrong. Let's agree to disagree. Yeah? Let's agree. Yeah? if you asked Adrian, you know, who is the greatest Formula One driver at the moment, he'll probably say Vettel or one of the Red Bull drivers. Me, I would say, for me, it was always Michael Schumacher, great driver of all time. But we would agree to disagree, you know. There was, where's Robbie? Is he awake? Robbie, who would you say, in your opinion, is the greatest boxer to ever live? Muhammad Ali. See, I would actually disagree, but that's fine. I'm not saying you're wrong. I would say that Marvin Hagler was the greatest boxer. Everyone ever seen that the YouTube clip, first round, best 10 seconds of boxing you'll ever see? Yeah? Honestly, the first round of that fight was the best part of boxing you'll ever see. Great sportsmanship. If you know your boxing, you know who Marvin Hagler is. But in that, I didn't disagree with anyone. It just takes a bit of wisdom to, when you're wise, you learn to disagree without being disagreeable. You learn to walk hand in hand without seeing eye to eye. One of the greatest things you can do with your life is to be a bridge builder, not a wall builder. And that's what Jesus came to do overall. He built bridges, for one massive eternal bridge for us, mankind, to be connected back to God. And that's what we are called to be. Ask yourself that question. Are you a bridge builder or are you a wall builder? You are more like Jesus when you are reconciling with people. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. God sent Jesus to earth to reconcile humanity with God. And everywhere he went, he imparted peace. In Mark 5, it says, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And in Luke 7, he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wherever you go, whether you're at work, wherever you're at home, wherever you're at school, wherever you are, do you impart peace onto everyone you meet? Do you impart peace into every area you go to? We are to have such awareness of peace that we can speak it into a place or into a situation or into a group of people. And you are more like Jesus when you're doing that. Jesus lived in a reality of peace that it just poured out onto everywhere he went. And we are to live in that same reality. I'll give you a personal story real quick. I used to work in schools. I absolutely loved it. I had a couple of years just doing something that I loved, working with children. And I can't go into too much details, obviously, for safeguarding reasons. But there was these two boys who, from the first day I got there, they kept fighting. It was every day, every lunchtime, every break. Even in class, they were just fighting. And I'm with, like, you know, the kid I'm looking after. And I'm just thinking, like, what on earth is going on with him two? Like, you know, they're just at each other's throats. And I thought, like, I'm glad I'm never going to be able to deal with them. I've got my kid, he's all good. One day, that kid goes sick. So now I'm stuck with these two boys. And they have a fight. And I just got to the point where I was just like, I've only been here 5 minutes. I'm already fed up with you lot. Why do you two fight? Turns out they're related. Turns out they're cousins. And the reason why they've been fighting for so long is because their parents are fighting each other too. And they're only doing what they see their parents doing. So after a little chat with them, little friendly clip round the ear roll, not physically, you know, that rivalry, those fighting boys, from that moment on, never fought again. While I was there anyway, I can't say what happened when I left. But while I was there, they never fought again, because they actually learned in that moment, why are we fighting? Mums can fight, leave them to it, but we're family. Like, why do we have to fight? And they actually had, for the time I was there, they actually had a nicer time in school. But that's what we're called to be. We're called to bring peace into everyone's life. Are we doing that today? Mark 5, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. If you want true happiness in your life, if you want peace in your life and you want to be happy, be a peacemaker. Secondly, we look at peaceful minds. Now, if you want a peaceful mind, we need to change the way our thoughts control our life. We need to change the way that we think. We need to change the way that we manage our minds. And God is far more interested in doing that than resolving any conflict or any problem that you have. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think of what is lovely, what is peaceful. Think of tropical beaches, white sands, green, fresh-cut green grass, you know, sounds of the ocean. I bought a sounds of the ocean thing once on Spotify, but there was nothing on it. The tide was out. That was poor, wasn't it? That was poor. So you want God to take... We live in a reality where you want God to take away all your problems. You want God to take away all your stress, all your worries, all your anxieties, all your pain. But God wants to work on you first. He wants to transform your mind. And he wants you to have your mind renewed. But that ain't going to happen until your thoughts begin to change. So why is it so important to manage your mind? Well, first of all, we manage our mind because our thoughts control our life. In Proverbs 4, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, your thoughts have tremendous ability of shaping your life, whether it's good, whether it's bad. For example, you could have been told something when you was a kid. Someone could have just said to you, you will never amount to nothing. You are a failure. And then you live with that. And as you go through work, as you go through life, every job promotion, every pay rise, every opportunity to progress and move up, you remember that saying, you will never amount to nothing, and it stops you from going that far because you stop yourself. You don't think you can do it. Well, the truth is you can. If you accept thoughts like that, it shapes your life. Secondly, we need to manage our mind because it's the battleground to sin. All temptation happens in the mind. Romans 7 says, I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there is something else deep within me, in my low nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant. But instead, I find myself enslaved to sin. One of the reasons why you probably get stressed a lot, you probably suffer with anxiety, you get worried, is because there's a battle going on in your mind 24 hours a day. A battle where your voice wants to be heard, God's voice wants to be heard, and Satan's voice wants to be heard. And Satan will do everything he can to be heard because your mind is your greatest asset. That's where he can control you. We must manage it because it is the battleground for sin. And lastly, we must manage our mind because it's the key to peace and happiness. An unmanaged mind leads to tension, where a managed mind leads to tranquility. Unmanaged leads to conflict, managed leads to confidence. Unmanaged leads to stress. When you don't try to control your mind and the way that you direct your thoughts, you will have an emotional amount of stress in your life. But a managed mind leads to strength. It leads to security and it leads to serenity. The Bible teaches us, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Amen? And it's a heavenly peace that comes with God's presence. And it speaks with a completion or perfection of life and spirit. It carries a sense of wholeness for people and for the world. And such is to be our awareness of peace that we can speak it into every place or every group of people. Today, we should choose life and peace for ourselves. And God tells us to bring peace wherever we go. Luke 10, when you enter a house, first say peace to the house. Do you know what that scripture is actually saying to you? Do you know what that scripture means? That means you have authority and power to bring peace into people's lives. Manage your mind, then bring peace into every area of your life and the lives around you. Amen? Amen. Lastly, who wants a peaceful future? Yeah? Well, you can't have it until you let go of the past. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life, and it's characterized by getting along with others. It is a gentle, reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day or cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour. That's James 3. For the past 18 months, the country and the world has been in lockdown, and it has changed people. So many people are at homes, and they might be a bit more sensitive than usual. Would you agree? I'd say I am slightly. Quick to point out everything that is wrong with the world, or maybe even everything that's wrong in your life. They jump on every mistake and error and feel duty-bound that it's their job to remind you that it didn't work. They're only just picky about everything and determined to keep bringing up the past. While I was preparing this, I had a prophetic picture. There are a few people here today. You've got words over you, such as bitterness, grudges, hurt, anger, let down, and unforgiveness. I believe that God is speaking to you today. This has been a stressful season, and it's understandable that you feel like acting in certain ways. But if you want to plant seeds of peace in your relationships, then don't emphasize on people's mistakes. Instead, encourage and build them up. We call that fault finding. Do you do that? Do you always dig and look for the faults in people? We want to be gold finders in this church. We don't care about your faults. We don't care about your mistakes. There is gold in you, and we want to bring it out. And that's what we want you to live on. Let's be gold finders. And mercy, the Bible says, is a mark of wisdom. Mercy is giving people what they need, not what they want. When somebody stumbles, you don't judge them, you encourage them. Mercy is forgiving and gracious. It's treating people the way God has treated you. Proverbs 17 says, love forgets mistakes, nagging about them parts the best of friends. I'll give you a quick personal story. No one in this church, but someone in my life right now is spreading lies and throwing dirt on my name. Someone very close. And I'm going through this, and it's like, preach peace, preach, you know, unity, preach, forgive, encourage, love, forget, and all that. But man, when someone lies about you, and they're really deep lies as well, when they're throwing dirt on your name, it's like, what are you doing? I want to sort you out. We are called to bring peacemakers, you know, and it's been a struggle. Pray for me, it's been a struggle, but I want peace in this situation because no one wants their name lied about. No one wants their name thrown on them. We all go through it. We all go through it. But the truth is, what are you choosing to forget out of love and wisdom? Emphasizing mistakes is not helpful. Mercy is what is helpful and loving. Proverbs 15 says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. And again, I will remind myself of Mark 5. Be peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The words that you say to people, and you even say to yourself, they make a difference. They make an impact. Learn to let go of the things in the past that are causing friction in your current relationships and speak life to people. Be peacemakers. Amen? Amen. Why don't we just stand real quick and just come in the presence of God? I feel like there's a need for peace right now. If you want peace, just hold up your hands, open up your hearts, and just focus on God. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about the empty seats. Don't worry about anything like that. This is business. This is between you and God, you and the Father. Come to Him as Father. I remember when we were doing a sozo with Angela, and I didn't expect this. I went through the sozo ladder that Angela shared last week, and God showed me a situation from the past, and I didn't think it was anything wrong with it. You don't think it. But I remember that sozo meeting, I remember just welling up and getting emotional. I thought, why am I doing this? But God was dealing with something, and I left that meeting so peaceful, a peace that I didn't even know that I didn't have. In the beginning, I told you that this is a massive message from God, a message of peace, the peace that God has for us, peace with God for all mankind. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And guys, today is the day that you make peace with God. You make it on this side of heaven, because if you get to heaven first, it's too late. We need to make peace with God. So the question is, just open up your hearts to the Father now. Are you at peace with God? Have you been distant from Him recently? Maybe you've been angry with Him or just sort of, God, I don't want to deal with you right now. Just leave me alone. What's keeping you from making peace with the Father today? If you want peace with God today, come down to the front and me and Angela will happily pray for you. Secondly, what about your mind? What do you fill your mind with? Do you fill it with stress, or are you filling it with love, joy and peace? Are you managing it well? That's where it all starts. We need to manage our minds. And is there a particular relationship in your life that's kind of gone a bit rotten, kind of broken, and you want peace to come in to restore it? Come down the front and we're going to pray for you. And have you ever been crushed by someone's words that they've spoken to you, and you've held on to it for the whole of your life, and it stopped you from doing the things that you want to do, it stopped you from being happy? God wants to set you free of that, and He wants to bring you peace today. Come down the front for prayer. And for those who don't even know Jesus, there's an opportunity for you to have peace in your life for free. And all it is just accepting Jesus into your heart through repentance, through thankfulness, and then just accepting Him in. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. don't be troubled or afraid. If you want that peace in your life right now, let's open up our hearts to God. I'm just going to pray over you and then we're going to worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. We come to you as sons and daughters to the Father. Lord, we need your peace and truth right now. We need it, Lord, to soothe our hearts and spirits. Lord, we find ourselves stressing and worrying, Lord, and it can be overwhelming and horrible at times. But Lord, we need to be reminded of your constant love, your healing and your grace every day. Lord, we ask for your mighty power to just surround us now. Holy Spirit, come. Fresh fire, come. That's it. That's it. God is dealing with it now. He's touching your heart now. Fresh fire, come. We prayed this morning for fresh fire. God's going to do something. To look at a fire, it's amazing. To look at what God's going to do with his fire today is going to be even more amazing. Fresh fire, come. Lord, we lay our burdens before you right now. We give it to you. Give it to him. He wants to take it from you. Give it to him. Give him your worries. Give him your stresses. Give him the things that take away your peace. Lord, we pour them out to you, Lord, our worries, our anxieties and our fears. And we are declaring this morning, Lord, that your promises of blessing and of peace and strength will be received in each and every one of our lives. Lord, bring peace into our hearts. Lord, and just renew our strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship God.